I always like to encourage singers by telling them this simple story about myself. Many years ago, when I was a young fellow, my mother said to me, "Would you take me to a mission in Downpatrick?" "Of course I will, Mother," I said. I took her along, and that's many, many years ago, and this young woman got up and sang 179 in redemption songs. "Have thy affections been nailed to the tree? Is thy heart right with God?" And I knew that night my heart wasn't right with in the sight of God. And the very next Monday night she asked me the same question, "Would you take me along to this mission?" Being my mother, I couldn't refuse her. But that night, something happened to me that changed the whole course of my life. 6 months after that, I was attending Killyleagh Baptist Church, and Tom Moore was the pastor, and he preached from Acts 26, verse number 16. "For I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister." And from that moment on, I knew that the Lord had saved me for a purpose. And as they say nowadays, the rest is history. Only to say this, that when I was a young Christian outside Killyleagh, we used to come, another fellow and I, over to Lurgan Baptist Church to hear a certain preacher. And then perhaps late 70s I began to preach here occasionally. And the last time I preached was when Dennis Lyle was here, and I was president of the Baptist Association. So it's very nice to be back again amongst you to renew fellowship with friends old and new. I discovered coming in tonight that I'm a far-out relation of someone that I didn't know. So thank you very much for the invitation. Now, during this day, we're looking at helps from Hebrews. And this morning we were looking at that great verse, the unchanging Christ in a changing world. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to his name. And tonight we want to read a few verses from Hebrews 7. And it's lovely to see children here, I'll make it as short as I possibly can. You'll get out in good time. So in the meantime, let us hear the word of God from Hebrews 7, 24 to the end. Hebrews 7, 24. "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore." And so reads the word of the living God. The first day of February 1776 was a very important day in the life of a young man called James Taylor, because that day he was to be married. Nothing unusual about that, of course. But what was unusual is simply this, that as a young boy he had gone to Sunday school, and as a young boy he had learned verses of Holy Scripture. And one of those verses was Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you can almost tell me the conclusion of that story. Before the day was over, young James Taylor had come to personal faith in the Lord Jesus. But not very long after that, his dear wife, she too became a Christian. But many years down the line, his great-great-grandson was a man called Hudson Taylor. And he came to personal faith in the Lord Jesus. And he's very well known because he was the founder of the China Inland Mission. Now, there's a twofold story to be learned from that illustration tonight. First of all, as Hebrews tells us, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Many years ago at the assembly, Paul Tucker was in Thomas Street Baptist, where my friend Clifford Morrison is, or at least was for 25 years. And he preached from a text that I never heard anyone preach before or after. It's a verse from 2 Timothy. The word of the Lord is not bound. You see, it wasn't bound by the fact that Paul was in prison, because if I know correctly, I believe the guards changed every so often. So therefore, this great man, although he was in prison, would have tremendous opportunity of preaching the Word of God. The Word of God is full of great and precious promises. And I love that old promise, the word of the Lord, my friends, shall not return unto me but void. But the second message to be learned from that true illustration is simply this. The Lord Jesus is able to save to the very uttermost all who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And that passage that we read tonight is all about the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus. And it's full of comfort and full of consolation. You may know, or you may not know, this verse that we're going to look at tonight was obviously addressed to true born-again believers. But it can be used to preach the gospel of the grace of God. We want us to learn just a few things, and I'll keep my word tonight. You'll be out in good time. I want to learn just three or four things from this great text. And the first one is mainly for Christians. First of all, the assurance that is taught by the latter part of this text, saying he ever liveth to make intercession for them. First of all, there's the great assurance that Jesus is alive. And bless God, he is alive. But how do you know, you might say to me tonight? Well, Jesus himself, he said, yes, to John in the Isle of Patmos, who was afraid. Be not afraid, John. I am he that liveth and is alive forevermore. I was in college many years ago. There was a man who quoted a man, but he never said who he was, but I got to know who he was. A man called Thomas Arnold, who was a headmaster of a grammar school in Rugby, in England. And this is what he said, my friends. The resurrection of Jesus is the best attested fact in all of history. But you might say to me tonight, but how do you know that Jesus is alive? I know because he lives within my heart. I love illustrations. I can't help it. This old atheist came to the simple child of God and said, but how do you know that Jesus is alive? Said the dear old saint, it's very simple. I was talking to him this morning, and he was talking to me. But what do you mean, said the atheist? Well, said the dear old saint, before I left my room this morning, I read my Bible, and God spoke to me. Then I turned to him in prayer, and I was able to speak to him. Let us praise God tonight that we serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. We know that he's living no matter what men may say. Bless God for that old hymn, or maybe it's not so old. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. We have the assurance and this text that Jesus is actually alive forevermore. And we have, secondly, the assurance that he's actually making intercession for his people. He's alive forevermore, and he's making intercession for us. Bless God, he's not only our Savior, he's not only our shepherd, he's not only our friend, he's not only our guide, but he's our sympathetic high priest. I overlap just for a moment or two tonight. Maybe you're in this service. Maybe you're going through times of trial. I want to tell you, there's a man in glory, and he's praying for you this very day. I preach in Park Avenue Free Methodist Church, but the young pastor has just died on the 15th of July at 62. And his wife was going, or his widow brother was going back to church just this very morning. We prayed for Ruth Morrell together before I came here. So that's the first thing, the assurance that is taught by these words, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. But that brings it to the second thing, and it also begins with the letter A. The ability of the Lord Jesus. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost, all who come unto God by him. You see this word able? It occurs again and again and again in the Bible. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to make us stand. He's able to present us faultless before his Father's throne. But I love that great prayer in Ephesians 3, where the great apostle prays for those believers at Ephesus, and he makes some mighty requests that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you might be rooted and grounded in love, that ye might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length and breadth and so on. But then he says these tremendous words, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages. But we want to take the word able, my friends, as we find it in the text. He's able to save to the very uttermost. And two quick things. First of all, the proof that Christ is able to save. How do we know? Well, I believe it was Paul who wrote Hebrews, although his name is not mentioned. But he was a very strange character. He was deeply religious. But at the same time, he was anti-Christ and anti-Christianity. Indeed, on the very day he was converted, he was going down the road to persecute the people who were of that way, who were Christians. But God stopped him in his tracks, said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the apostle Paul had a Damascus Road experience. Because you see, in his own words that he wrote to believers at Corinth, he was a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the doctor who tells us about his conversion in Acts 9, I think it's verse number 15, it may not be, but he says this wonderful thing about Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. C.H. Spurgeon has a wonderful sermon in that text. And these are not my words, but these are his words. A prayerless soul is a Christless soul. That's very startling, isn't it? I was really challenged just yesterday morning. Our daily reading was found in 1 Thessalonians 5, that great passage at the end. Pray without ceasing. You should pray when you feel like it and pray when you don't feel like it. Indeed, the times you don't feel like it, you need to pray the most. Yes, the proof that he's able to save, he saved Saul of Tarsus. John Wesley was obviously a famous preacher. It is estimated that he traveled 250,000 miles on horseback to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And one day he came to this very lonely part of the road, and there were trees overgrown, dark night. This man stepped out and he said, "Halt! Your money or your life." Wesley emptied his pocket of the few pence that he had. Then he said to this man, "If you opened my bag, you will find a little book there. If you take it home and read it and believe it, it will change your whole life." Years went past, and by this time, Wesley was an old man. But he was speaking at this meeting, and this man said to him on the way out, "Could I have a word with you?" "Certainly," said the preacher. And he came into the vestry and he said to Wesley, he says, "You may not remember me, but I remember you. Because I was the man who stopped you and robbed you of a few pence that you had. And you told me about this book in your saddlebag. If you took it home and read it, it would change your whole life. And I did what you told me, and I became a Christian. And I don't rob people anymore, because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus." Thank God for that old-fashioned hymn. "Things are different now. Something happened to me since I gave my heart to Jesus. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay. Things are different now. Something happened to me since I gave my heart to Jesus." Yes. Not only the proof that he's able to save, but the powerful extent whereby he is able to save. Old Spurgeon has a wonderful sermon, "To the uttermost of crime, to the uttermost of despair." Spurgeon said, he's able to save to the very uttermost. Have you ever heard tell the story of Spurgeon's conversion? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I just feel like telling you just now. 6th of January, 1850. It was a very, very, very snowy day. And Spurgeon couldn't get to the church that he generally goes. He went to the nearest Baptist church. He was a lad of 16. There was only a handful of people there. And the preacher couldn't turn up because of the weather conditions. But this man got up. He could hardly give out the text. But he did. Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. And young Spurgeon, at the age of 16, he put his faith in the Lord Jesus. I've just read his life story 3 times during lockdown. What a wonderful preacher he was. When I was a young Christian, Tom Orr had only Matthew Henry and Charles Haddon Spurgeon. But Spurgeon became a mighty soul winner. So we have tried to look at the assurance that is taught in this text. Wherefore, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Secondly, tonight, the ability of the Lord Jesus taught by this word, able. He's able to save to the very uttermost. And then the activity taught by this text. Taught by this word save. Now this word save is a very interesting word. Some people don't like it, of course. Don't like to use the word saved. But it's a good Bible word. But the point is that it's always in three tenses. Past, present, and future. You see, our Lord Jesus is able to save us from our past, whatever our past may have been. I could tell you my testimony tonight, but I don't want to do that. But there was an interesting article in the Belfast Telegraph just a few years ago, but this man, he was involved in the UDA in Rathcoole. I think he did time. He put into prison. But the Gideons had been there before him. And he got a Bible. You know what he used to do? This is a true story. There was obviously a smoking place in the prison. He used to use leaves of the Bible to light his cigarettes. But one day as he was doing it, there was a verse of scripture, my friends, that literally gripped his heart and gripped his soul. And I'm sure it was this verse. But he became a true born-again believer. And the last thing I heard about him, he was a pastor in England. I don't care what your past may have been tonight. God can forgive us. I love what Psalmist tells us in Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, I'm no scientist, but I understand, my friends, that great scientists and great people can tell us how far it is from the north to the south. But they cannot tell us how far it is from the east to the west. Yeah. Bless God, when we become a Christian, our past has been forgiven. Bless God, he's able to save us not only from our past, but he's able to save us in the present. You see, he can, as already we have said, he can keep us from falling. And he can bring us right home to glory. And bless God, he's able one day to save us from the very presence of sin itself. That's the activity he's able to save. Fourthly tonight, the approach. He's able to save them to the uttermost. All who come unto God by him. And there are two great gospel words that are found in the latter part of this text. Yes, able to save them to the uttermost. Who come unto God by him. Coming to God suggests, tells me, and teaches me about repentance. Alas, in many pulpits today, this word is not mentioned. But the greatest preacher of them all said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There's not only approach, my friends, but there's acceptance. All who come unto God by him. You see, we will never be converted unless we repent of our sins and unless we receive the Lord Jesus as our own personal Savior. The greatest preacher of them all said, yeah, to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That brings us to the last thing I said and finish punctually. The application of this great text. First of all, the uniqueness of Christianity. I was once asked the question by two students who were very bright in our house, what's the difference between the religions of the world and Christianity? I give them this answer. The religions of the world are based upon someone who lived and who died and whose body is still in the grave. But Christianity is based upon someone who lived, who died, and who rose again, and as already we have said, he's alive forevermore. And the last thing that I want to say, not only the uniqueness of Christianity, but the unending blessings that we receive when we come to this wonderful person. Just let me mention one or two as we conclude. Already we have indicated it. Forgiveness of sins. And that's the greatest blessing that anyone could ever have. As the old hymn writer said, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. All is well. All is well with my soul. My friends, and that's a great blessing. But bless God tonight. If we know the Lord Jesus, we have a glorious future. Generally speaking, I'm not preaching on Tuesday night, certainly not during lockdown, but I turned to TBN. I listened to a man called Dr. David Jeremiah. My friends, I heard him last Tuesday night on heaven. Looking forward to hearing him this Tuesday night in heaven. With this, I'm finished. I have to finish. Michael Faraday was a great scientist, but he was a great Christian. Someone came to him as he came near the end of his life, and he said, "What are your speculations now, sir?" To which the great scientist said, "I have no speculations, for they're all certainties. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I may never be back in Lurgan for a whole lot of different reasons. But if I'm not, if I don't see you again in this life, will I see you in the next life? There's only one way you can be sure. As Queen Victoria said, "I'm depending on the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the very uttermost, all who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." I trust I have exalted Christ this morning. I trust I have exalted him tonight as well. Let us bow together in prayer then. Father, we just worship you because this Lord Jesus is able to save and able to keep and able to bring us right home to glory. Bless the singing of your praise and the preaching of your word. Take us now to our different homes in safety. For Christ's sake, amen, amen. I'm sorry, I can't shake hands. It's just one of those things. I might give a few people an elbow or two if I see them. But thank you very much indeed for coming and for your attention. And the boys and girls were very good. Thank you so much indeed. May the Lord bless you real good. Thank you.